Greetings once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Lord. He's above it all. And in Him, we live, we move, we have our being. We continue on. We carry forward in the paradigm that God has us in at such a time as this. And, you know, I started talking a little bit yesterday about, the keys. I started talking a little bit yesterday about this paradigm that we're in, and also how God has established for us a way out. Jesus is the way, right? He's not a way, He is the way. So, you know, there are these connections that God wants us to understand, because in understanding them, we can appropriate them and we can live them. You know, it is the person that lives the proper interpretation of the words of Christ that experiences the blessings of His words. You know, if somebody, you know, I've seen so often when I used to, back to church days and early things that were going on, and I'm also thinking of how people used to twist and turn scriptures to try to match a predetermined agenda that they had. And in the process of trying to match a predetermined agenda, they would twist a scripture, they would twist something that God had said to have a false meaning. Now, the words that God spoke were truth, were life, would be a blessing unto somebody, but the interpretation was self-serving, was full of corruption, was designed to take people in another path and in another way. That which was intended to give people life was twisted and turned by the gatekeepers in the institutions in order to keep people enslaved. And, you know, that in the book of Timothy, God, you know, has put forward a very strict and stern warning. He says, you know, those of you that preach and teach, incur on yourselves a stricter judgment. So it's, you know, listen, I don't do this lightly. You know, when God quickened me, you know, this is back when I was a teenager, but quickened me to speak, you know, in my natural self at that stage where I was at, you know, I would have been just fine being in the background. But when God quickened me to start speaking, the other thing that he told me was every time that I would stand up to speak for Him, no matter what was going on in my life, He would speak through me. You know, His word would come through. And I needed to know that because, you know, I didn't want to go forward speaking something that was not coming from Him. So, and the thing is, you can't do this without Him in the first place. You can't, if you were to try to stand up and speak about the things of the Spirit and the things that God is revealing without His Spirit speaking through you, well, what is the source of that? You know, that's vanity, that's opinion. And, you know, frankly, our opinions don't count for much. It's what you want is you want the revelation of Christ. You want the revelation that comes from God. That's the thing that that is going to be life and truth and open things up for you. And scriptures also tell us there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, therefore, you don't want to be, especially in things of the Spirit, doing things that seem right to you. You want to be doing things in line with truth. You want to be doing things in line with the revelation of God. His word, His truth, His power, His principles, His kingdom come, His will be done. That's what you want. Because without that, what else do you have? You know, for some reason, I know the enemy has set up all these traps and these snares, but you know, people look also too for the collective to give them assurance, collective assurance that they're okay, because they've all wanted to go another way, and a way that seemed right to them, and a way that's in line with their greeds and their lusts. Scriptures tell us that, you know, in these days, the last days, that people will surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. So, that being the case, you know, they'll surround themselves with people that tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear, not what they should hear, not what will give them, you know, point them in the direction of the path of truth so they can make a decision and a choice and they can go with that. No, they're going to surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear, and they're going to continue to go forward in that delusion and that deception with groupthink, never truly being, you know, who they were destined to be. So, that really is a shame, to have been alive but to never have truly lived. To have been here the whole time and never truly have known an authentic, genuine expression of being who God made you to be. That really is just an absolute shame. I mean, it's the equivalent of somebody traveling to the most beautiful, I don't want to say the equivalent, but, you know, an example, somebody traveling to an amazing, just one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, but they spend all their time stuck inside a dingy, cost-saving room. Not even a nice room, just a cost-saving room that's just the place where they can sleep. But they never got outside the room. They spent the whole time there. They never experienced that place. They never experienced what it was that could have been there for them that whole time. So now God has given us, though, an option. You know, before Christ Jesus, you didn't have an option. Before Christ Jesus, you didn't have a way. You didn't have the way. You know, there's ideas. People hinted the things, hinted the possibilities. But there was nothing that really stuck. There was nothing that really addressed that which was the elephant in the room. Occasionally, people would come up and, you know, they would allude to certain possibilities and certain thoughts. And some people would be, you know, because, yes, all life is suffering. Oh, okay, here we go. You know, this guy gets it. Because I'm suffering and you're suffering, right? Okay. Yeah, so they would allude to different things. But in the end, the only one that was the way out is Christ. The only one that has the keys to the door is Christ. You know, other people can talk about the door, but there's only one person that has the keys to the door. The keys to unlock and to move forward, to go from glory to glory, to go from strength to strength. There's only one. Because your human efforts to try to open those doors falls flat. You might as well take your human efforts and go try to, with your own hands, move the Empire State Building in New York. You could just go, I mean, somebody would see that, yeah, just bare hands, go ahead and move it. Well, no, you can't. And yet, people want to try to apply it to the things of the Spirit. And think that they can move and shift and twist and turn these things. They get frustrated because their human efforts are limited. And so then, they turn to other areas in the Spirit, to the dark side, to try to get some power, to try to move some stuff around, to try to see some action. And in the end, they do see and experience power, but it's that power is also set up to enslave. That participation of their free will takes them deeper and deeper and deeper into a trap, and they don't get out. They don't get out. You know, it's when you go that path of witchcraft, when you go that path of rebellion, when you go that path of doing and fulfilling the bidding of the enemy and becoming a human agent of the powers of the second heavens and the manifestation of those dark intentions and those dark plans on the earth, and you harvest and utilize spiritual power to do all of that, you, my friend, are in an extremely dangerous spot. And the enemy will keep people wrapped up in there, but the byproduct of that is only death. Death for a lot of people, including yourself. So, now, God has given us the way, the truth, the life. Christ Jesus, keys to the kingdom. You know? Well, back to Peter. All right. You know, when Jesus started talking about keys? Okay. What was that context? Well, Peter, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, who is in heaven, has revealed this unto you. You know, I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, little rock, and upon this Petra, upon this rock, this big rock, this revelation of who I am, I will build my church. Oh, they didn't teach you that in Catholicism. No, they told you that Peter was the first pope, right? And there's a succession of popes, because upon Peter, upon Peter, this succession of papal authority is there. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we try to deceive, something like that. Peter didn't even stay consistent with being the first pope, if that's the case, because he denied Christ and broke lineage and broke rank. He broke it right away. God had to reinstate him. He had to go round him up. Go bring him back. It's upon this big rock. You go check it out. You can do a little word study there and set yourself free. if you're stuck looking to a man and not wanting to break rank. No, go check it out. Upon this rock, this big rock, this Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, it's this revelation of Christ. And what are gates for? Their gates are there to stop things from moving forward. Gates are there to keep things in and to keep things out. Gates are there to keep things in and keep things out. You know, you've got a gate for dogs. There to keep them in. If you've got a gate, to something to keep something out, but it's there as a barrier. It's there as a barrier. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The gates of hell cannot stop you once you have the key. They're still going to be there, but the gates will not keep you in because you got the key to go out, to leave. The price was paid at the cross for you. The blood price was paid for the remission of your sins and the sins of the whole world, taken upon Christ Jesus, so that you can now walk in the truth, and you can now walk in the revelation of who Christ is and who you are in Christ Jesus, and who you are from an eternal perspective. Here's something to keep in mind. Okay, so we talked a little bit last time about us being projections of our higher self, right? Okay, so the scriptures say that we are seated in heavenly places, right? Right. Okay, so we're seated in heavenly places. So then what are we doing here? Well, here we are a projection. We are a physical manifestation of our higher selves. Ultimate example of that, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. What did he say? I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak the words that I hear from the Father, right? Right. Okay. So, he only did what he saw from the Father, what he heard from the Father. Well, you know, now, Jesus is the light, but I'm just going to use this as an example. Here's another expression of light. If you have a shadow, does your shadow do anything in and of itself? No, it does what the one that is casting the shadow does. So if your shadow jumps only if you jump. Your shadow makes certain shapes if you make those shapes. Right? So Jesus is a projection in the earth, the Word made flesh. He only did what he sees the Father doing. He only speaks the words that come from the Father. He is a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality. And you, brother, sister, and the living God, you are too. You are a physical representation of a spiritual reality. You have been projected into this realm at such a time as this for an expression of God's purpose and God's plan. Now, what the world wants to do is it wants to cut your shadow off. It wants to steal your shadow. It wants to steal your projection. It wants to steal because, you know why? Because you have free will. Even in this paradigm, you still have free will. You still have the expression. Because you've been made in the image and the likeness of God. So you still can make choice. And what the world wants to do is it wants to cut you off from the source and suck you dry. But if you are walking with the life and the truth and Christ in you, the hope of glory has been manifest, and you're moving in that, then nothing, no height nor depth, no angel nor demon, nothing in all of creation can take you away. No power, no principality, nothing can take you out of the hands of the living God. Nothing can pull you away from Him, because nothing is stronger than Him. All power in heaven and earth given unto Christ Jesus, and he said to us, therefore go, make disciples of all nations. Gotta teach, gotta preach, gotta speak the word, gotta live the truth, gotta be what God made you to be. So that's what we're doing, right? Okay, so, keys. Well, the big one, starting one, the prime, is Christ in you, Jesus Christ, I am. There's a key. Because Jesus talked about keys. But you got to start with the big one. You got to start with the one that opens the door, where you can go from darkness to life, from the power of Satan unto God. You've got to open the door. The prison door is open in Christ Jesus. Your shackles are taken off in Christ Jesus. So now, you can go through. You can go in and out and find pasture. You can be in the world and not of the world, as Jesus prayed for his disciples. You need no man to get to God. Yeah, that was the curse of the law. We've talked about this before. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. That was the old covenant. Under the old covenant, there was a high priest once a year. He'd go in, make sacrifice for the sins of the people and for his own sins and his own mistakes. And they'd have to put bells on the hem of his garments, tie a rope around his ankle, because if he messed up and God didn't like what was going on, he would drop dead in the Holy of Holies, and they'd have to pull him out by his ankle, because nobody could go in after them, because they would die too. The curse of the law, you constantly needed somebody to try to go to God on your behalf. Somebody to try to make this right. Somebody. And you're always wondering, are you okay? Are you okay? Curse of the law. Jesus Christ said it is finished. In Christ Jesus, you need no man to get to God. You don't need a human agent. You have direct access. What happened when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom by the very hand of the living God. This is not some flimsy veil. No, the thickness of it, I think I've talked about this before, but I had a buddy that used to collect Persian rugs, and he showed me one. You could see they're 2 inches thick, just with the knots woven by hand. And he just said, just pull it, just tug at it. And it was like pulling on a piece of steel. It was so strong. And he said, you know, Govinda, he said that the veil of the temple was twice as thick as this. Amazing. But yeah, God, by his hand, ripped it top to bottom. And so the Holy of Holies was exposed, was opened up, and you could see in to the place that was previously off limits. Jesus Christ was a natural example of a spiritual reality. The temple of God that was built, when God gave the instruction to Moses, said, build it like this. Why? Because don't take liberties. Why? Because it's a natural example of a spiritual reality, and I'm having you do this so that my people can understand something that's going on in the realm of the spirit, even if they can only see in the natural. They can get an idea, they can get a sense. Okay? So the veil of the temple was rent. What did that do? That meant that now you have direct access. Because in the realm of the spirit, you were no longer blocked. You no longer had a limitation. Now you had a link. You had a connection. You had, the way was made for you to boldly go before the throne of grace. And we do. We boldly go before the throne of grace, and we bring our petitions before the living God. And we utilize the keys that God has given us. Now, okay, what do keys do? Alright, keys, they unlock, they open. They open up something that was previously closed to you. So, in the process of you using it, now, first of all, you've got to know which key. You've got to know which key goes to which door. and you've got to be able to use it. So this is where, too, people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, they don't know, and they don't also apply what they know. See, kind of one of my old sayings was, knowledge without application is worthless. You can know something, but if you don't apply what you know, it doesn't help. If you don't apply what you know, it does not help. So knowledge without, you've got to apply what you know, and you've got to have the will and the desire to apply what you know. And you've got to have the power to apply what you know. You know, you can see the solution for all the problems of the world, but if you don't have the platform and the power to be able to do something about it, well you know, nothing changes. So you've got to have the power. Okay. But you gotta know. You need to know which key goes to what. And in the process of knowing which key goes to what, you can apply it. You can use it. So, keys to the kingdom. Now, why does the enemy try to hide these keys from you? Well, the enemy tries to hide these keys from you because if you use them, because if you have the keys and you use them, he can't stop you. You know, so all of the propaganda of the enemy is to try to keep you away from using the very keys that God has given to you. Because you have them. Okay? Well, first one we discussed is I am, is Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. You know, he is that first key to be able to go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. He is that way out. We talked a little bit about, you know, another one is the breath. Breathe. Yahweh. That there is, now there are people that are, you know, that's have gotten so much into breath and so much into breathing and so much into, but you can shift a lot of things in your body, in your mentality, in your thought process, in all of these, that is right there with you. You can balance the pH in your body. You can put yourself in a different state. You can go from stressed to non-stressed just through breath. Jesus breathed on them. You have, here's the thing about the keys. Jesus gave them to you. So, you have them on you. And you can use them. So, now what do these keys allow you to do? Well, they allow you to be in, you're in present. You're right now. So here's another one. Okay, I am being present. You know, why does the enemy try to get you caught up in the past, or try to get you all perplexed about the future? Because he keeps you from using the key of right now. And right now, I am, is the only place, time, space that you can do anything. Right now, I am. Be here now. This very present moment. You walk in that. Not in something that's in the future, and not bound by something from your past. You are right now. You are I am. Why is it that the world tries to keep you out of that? Why is it that every time that you are moving forward in something, that then the enemy is going to try to come and take you off of that? You know, I think a lot of the thing that's been built into technology, instant notifications, for example. Okay, well, what do so many of those do? Well, you're talking to somebody, and then bing, now your mind goes somewhere else. Your thoughts go somewhere else. You can't be where you are because bing, something's just come up to take you somewhere else. You're not I am. You're, oh, what was that? Distracted. Over here, over there. You know, I think something with technology, small side note, people were given all of this tech, and they continue to be given more and more, and nobody was told how to use it. They're just given it. And all the spikes in dopamine and all of the psychology that's gone into it, people were just given, you know, a bottle of scotch and a huge glass and just told to drink. You know, you've got to learn how to use the tools that are around you so that they're tools and that you're not serving them, but they serve you. Nobody taught people to do this. So you've got to take a little discipline there, because sometimes, a lot of times, the design of many of these things is in line with the purposes of the world. And a big part of the purposes of the world is to keep you off the track, to keep you separated from life, to keep you separated from truth, to get you off of I am, to get you away from being an eternal being, and to get you stuck in the past or something in the future. You know, a lot, this is again down to the individual. There's going to be some discipline. A disciple is a disciplined person. There's going to be some discipline necessary for you to be able to shift and to transition. So, but yeah, I am right now. In Christ Jesus, you can walk in an eternal state. You can be right now. And you know what? That doesn't end. That doesn't end. If you are walking in that truth, if you're walking in that life, then you can walk in that eternal state right now. Now the enemy's going to try to pull you off of that. So what you've got to do is, whenever those things come up, just deal with it in that moment. But stay close to your default spot, which is, your default is to be eternal. Your default is to walk in eternity. Your default is to walk in eternity, not to walk in something temporal. Was talking about second that we start going into these things. Okay, so you got to be eternal. So you got to be present. You know, that's what it is to be like the wind. So the children of God, they're like the wind. They flow to and fro as the Spirit leads them. You know, Jesus talked about, out of us will flow rivers of living water. Okay, well, water, all right. But what does water do? Well, water, he also talked about peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. Okay, well, you know, when I studied that one out some time back, he talked about that word he's talking about, internal serenity amidst external turmoil. Okay. So you can have inside of you a sea of glass, even when the world is coming down all around you, even when everything's up in turmoil and turbulence, you can have peace within you. If you've ever seen the top of a really, really calm lake, you know, taken a rock, tossed it into that water, but what does that water do? You can toss it into that water and it will respond based on what it is that you tossed in. If you toss a pebble, okay, it has a pebble response. If you toss in a huge boulder, huge rock, huge whatever, it will have that response, and it'll always go back to its calm state. You know, you can do that. Because right now, in this very moment, right now, while I'm talking to you, in this absolute moment, what problem do you have? You know, what? No, in this moment. If you think about it, you're fine. If you think about it, God's with you. If you think about it, when you look at it, He's got you. So you should take hope. And you need to now, okay, why do we use these keys? There's more. Okay, here's one. Love. Okay, well, God is love. So when you're consummated with Him, you're consummated with love. And when you love, things change. When you love, you access something that, you know, was previously a totally different loop. When you're unforgiving, when you're bitter, when you're hostile, when you're angry, when you've got that bitter root growing inside of you, just traps you into something that the enemy just is relishing. But when you love, when you forgive, when you release, when you let go, when you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you, you know, you pray for those that despitefully use you. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts when people do bad stuff to us. But when you love and you release and you let go, you're free. And when you're free and you walk in that freedom, you experience a different reality. Now, with regards to these keys, well, what do? Well, they allow you to access a different paradigm, a different reality in your present experience. So you're experiencing things right now as I am right now. And you're in loops of reality in your experience. Have you ever noticed how certain things just seem to repeat? Certain patterns just seem to repeat. You know, certain betrayals just seem to happen again and again. Certain things, you just go into these loops because we go into loops. We go into a repetitive expression based on the loop that we're in. That's the spin we're in. And if you want to step out of that, well, you've been given the keys. You've been given the keys so that you can step out. And you can go from one, you can go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. You can shift your entire expression of your experience in this paradigm of what we call life on earth. You can shift it entirely. And God will lead and guide you into all truth. And you use the keys as He shows you. And those shift the entire expression. Now, who's the one that gives us the keys? Well, God gives us the keys. So they're going to come from Him. He's going to show you how to use them. Oh, it's in there. Boy, I tell you, when you start to see this stuff, your study of the scriptures gets exciting. Because you start to see that which was previously hidden. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You've got to have that to start with. If you don't have that, where are you going to go? So, yeah, we talked about it last time. You know what the world does? Their answer to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is information. That's the way the world goes. They're just going to gather as much information as they possibly can. You know, they're just going to make up for it with inputs, and they're going to turn it over to AI to make the decisions for them because they don't, they can't. So the machines become God. And human beings, in their patterns and in their loops, in their predictability, just become data sets. Here's the thing about a child of God. A child of God will shift, will change, because they hold nothing so dear in this life, anything more than to follow God, to be led by Him. So because they're led by Him, they can shift, they can change. The child of God can change careers on it, just like that. The child of God can change their circles, can change. They can go up, they can go down, they can go sideways, doesn't matter. You know, they can be in the lap of luxury, they can leave it all, and they can go live in a hut. And then they can go from that and live, you know, in a palace right afterwards, doesn't matter. Because, you know, and Paul talked a little bit about that, I've learned the secret. To be content in all situations, in all things, in all states. I know what it is. There you go. He appropriated a key. He utilized the key. And in using that one, it opened up an entire set of experiences that worlders can't imagine. Worlders can't go back their states, as far as their expression of their life, you know, they just got to keep, you know, there's a lot of things that they're petrified to lose anything that they think they have in this world. So they oppose the truth because, oh my gosh, the possibility of them losing something that they think they have is terrifying. But with Christ Jesus, you realize everything that you ever had in the world was but dung. And for what you now have in Christ, that's what's real. So, yeah, so that's what we want. We want, you want what's real. You want to move with the keys. You want to move with what's, with what God has given you. In doing so, in living that, you also now experience. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the abundant life is the full life. The full life is a life where you can live the fullest expression of what God intended for you to be in your time on the earth. Nothing is off limits to you. No expression of the fullness of who you are while you're on the earth is off limits. And God gives you the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the power to do what He has for you to do. So, amazing time to be alive, amazing time to be walking with God and the things of the Lord. Trust Him. And know that He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. So walk in I Am, walk in the truth. There's another one. There's the key. Walk in the truth. You'll know the truth. The truth shall set you free, make you free. Walk in that truth. And know that He's doing it. God is doing it. And so, it's all good, guys. Love you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We always love to hear from you guys. 20 on 20 is coming up, so join us in prayer. You guys already know, if you've been listening in on that program, you know that the world changes when the people of God come together in agreement to pray. God's